So tonight, or this afternoon, I guess it's not evening yet, but this afternoon I wanted to do something we did, we've started doing a couple months ago, and that is looking at some of the songs we sing in order to try to establish a deeper understanding of these songs, to maybe understand the context of when and where they were written, what was the purpose behind it. So that as we sing, we can truly do as Paul commanded the Corinthians, to sing with the understanding. And so in endeavoring to do that, I'm going to look at three songs that you all know probably pretty well. The first one, I'm sure. If you'll turn in your song books in just a few minutes, we'll be singing Amazing Grace, page 125. Tonight, the theme of these songs is songs of grace. When we speak about grace and what does that mean? Grace is one of the key things that as Christians, one of the key components of our Christianity is grace. It's the fact that God loved us in spite of our sins, as Paul tells the Romans. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's such a powerful thought, isn't it? Isn't that such a powerful message to us? That yes, we're sinners. We're all struggling with sin. And instead of just throwing us away, instead of giving up on us, God didn't do that. But He sent His only begotten Son to die for you and I in spite of our sinfulness. And so as we think about grace, one of the songs that immediately comes to our minds, I'm sure, many of us are the same way, is Amazing Grace. We've been singing that song for a very long time. And so I want to take just a few minutes and consider this song that we sing about God's graciousness. The song is written by a man named John Newton. And I want to read to you a passage from this book about John, Mr. Newton, and where he came from as he wrote these words. It actually kind of surprised me, I'll be honest. It wasn't the place I maybe would have thought. But John Newton was greatly influenced by his mother. It talks about that in his earliest memories were of his godly mother, who on this day is especially apropos when we think about mothers and how appreciative we are, who despite fragile health, devoted herself to nurturing his soul. You know, we often get caught up in worrying about the physical condition of our children, which is right and good. We need to worry about those things. But what about the soul? You know, godly mothers will nurture the soul of their children. It says, at her knee, he memorized Bible passages and hymns. Though she died when he was about 7, he later recalled her tearful prayers for him. Aren't we praying for our children? After her death, John alternated between boarding school and the high seas, wanting to live a good life. How many of us could say this? Wanting to live a good life, but falling deeper and deeper into sin. Pressed into service with the British Navy, which he did not want to do, he deserted and was captured. And after 2 days of suspense, he was flogged. His subsequent thoughts vacillated between murder and suicide. He later recalled, I was capable of anything at that time, and not of a good nature. More voyages, dangers, toils, and snares followed. It was a life unrivaled in fiction. Then on the night of March 9, 1748, John 23 was jolted awake by a brutal storm that descended too suddenly for the crew to foresee. The next day, in great peril, he cried out to the Lord, of which he later wrote, "That 10th of March is a day much remembered by me, and I have never suffered it to pass unnoticed since the year 1748. The Lord came from on high and delivered me out of the deep waters." Several years saw slow, halting spiritual growth, and he later went on to become a prominent denominational preacher. But it was in his study of a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 17 that he was inspired to write the hymn you sing, "Amazing Grace." Notice the passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, beginning at verse 16. The text writes of David, then King David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree." David was a man who understood what it was to fight against sin. And I'm sure, following his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, that he probably dealt with some depression. I'm sure he dealt with some periods of doubt about himself. We know he was greatly humbled by his actions that followed. Mr. Newton was going to entitle this song originally "Faith's Review and Expectation." I think he titled it better, "Amazing Grace." Think about God's grace. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. In writing about grace, he says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." He later writes in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, talking about our salvation. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You and I, if we are a child of God, have been saved by grace. Not anything that you and I have accomplished in our lives will ever award us salvation. Our sins far outweigh any good that we may do. That does not mean we don't have to do things God's asked us to do in the way he's asked us to do them. Becoming a child of God is not earning your salvation. Obeying the gospel is simply accepting God's offer of grace. Just like Nahum, when he was told to dip in the river Jordan 7 times, Nahum didn't earn cure from leprosy. But what he did was accept God's grace of a cure. When we sing the song "Amazing Grace," I want to read to you just the first line. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now, thank God, I am found. Was blind, but now I see." Let us join together in singing about God's amazing grace.
Amazing.
next song, if you want to go ahead and turn to song number 237. O thou fount of every blessing. The song is written by a man named Robert Robinson. He has a similar story to that of Mr. Newton. He had a rough beginning to his life. His father died when he was young, and his mother, unable to control him, sent him to London to learn barbering. While he learned instead, or what he learned instead, was drinking and gang life. When he was 17, he and his friends reportedly visited a fortune teller. Relaxed by alcohol, they laughed as she tried to tell their fortunes. But something about the encounter bothered Robert, and that evening he suggested to his buddies that they attend the evangelistic meeting being held by denominational preacher named George Whitefield. Whitefield was preaching on the text in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. The text there tells us that, but when he saw many, talking about Jesus, of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, John the Baptist. But when he saw some or many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Bursting into tears, Whitefield exclaimed, "Oh, my hearers, the wrath to come, the wrath to come." Robert immediately sobered up and sensed Whitefield was speaking to him. The preacher's words haunted him for nearly 3 years. Robert soon entered a denominational ministry, and within 3 years, and 3 years later, at the age of 23, while serving a Calvinist Methodist chapel in Norfolk, England, he wrote a hymn for his sermon on Pentecost Sunday. And that is the song you have before you. O thou fount of every blessing. When we consider how immensely God has poured out his blessings upon us, I want you to notice the words of the song. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. In verse 2, here I raise my Ebenezer, or memorial stone. Hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. And then in verse 3 he writes, O to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. The battle with sin. It's an ongoing thing that we face daily. Each morning brings with it a ray of hope, but it also brings with it a challenge. What will I do with the day I have been given? And so as we live our lives, we struggle with the ups and downs of being a child of God, of living the Christian life. What is it that keeps us as Christians going on? What is it that helps us to endure? Let me give to you two passages that I often think about. Peter, in his second epistle, wrote to the brethren of his day, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slowness or slackness, but is longsuffering toward us." Why? "Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why is God waiting so long to send Jesus back? It's because he wants more people to hear the gospel, more souls to be saved. Paul wrote to Timothy in his first letter to him, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul wrote, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires some men to be saved, a few." You notice Paul says he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All includes the rich, the poor, the wealthy, the powerful, and the powerless, the poor, the sin sick, and those who think they have it together. God desires all men to come to repentance. O thou fount of every blessing, how thankful I am for God's grace and his mercy. Let's sing this song together. For this last song, turn in your into your hymnal to Psalm 964. There is a balm in Gilead. Most of the songs in our hymnal are written by men and who have studied Scripture, and out of that have come the hymns that we have. This hymn, though, this song is a little different. This is a spiritual song written during the time of slavery. When you consider for just a moment the plight of the African American slave in our country, we consider how they arrived here. People taken from their homes, captured, brought aboard ships on terrible journeys across the sea to be delivered into bondage and oppression, to suffer at the hands of men bearing whips and shackles. We think about their loss of dignity. And in considering it all combines to kill both the body and the spirit. In those times, how did those individuals hold on to life and hope? It was out of those struggles that they found release in singing. A unique form of music evolved called the Negro Spiritual. These spiritual songs were not devised through Bible study, but through working and doing what you were told. Unlike men like Isaac Watts and John Newton, they developed these songs in the fields and the barns, the words dealing with the daily pain and future hope. Often slaves were allowed to sing while working. If, for example, they were hauling a fallen tree, they would combine muscles and voices, using the musical rhythms for a heave-ho effect. Other times, risking the lash or branding iron, they'd slip into torch-lit groves. To offer worship to the Lord. With swaying bodies, they would stand, eyes half closed, singing, "Go down, Moses. Roll, Jordan, roll. He's got the whole world in his hands." And the classic that we are going to sing about tonight, "There Is a Balm in Gilead." It comes from a passage in Jeremiah 8:22, where the prophet wrote, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people?" When we think about the power of God to heal the sin-sick soul, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 5. When asked or challenged by the Pharisees and scribes, when they said, Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered those that day, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What was the mission of Jesus? What was his purpose? Why did God leave heaven to come here and to walk among us? I believe Peter sums it up the best in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24. He said, "Who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged. We all say amen to that. And think my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say, "He died for all." Let us join together in singing this hymnal. Thank you for your attention and your voices this evening. In just a minute, we're going to sing together 906, "All Things Are Ready." God has truly done the hard work. He has put in the labor, the effort to save your soul and mine. He has prepared for us a table set with grace and mercy. As we consider our own spiritual conditions and we look at our journey, is our journey leading to a place called heaven or a place called hell. I need God's grace. I need God's mercy. I am thankful for the one who provides it. Tonight, Jesus is more than willing and has done everything in his power to save us, to save you, me. Will we accept that offer of grace so that we can sing with joy, "There is a balm in Gilead"? If you're a child of God who is suffering with sin and you're sin sick, tonight I want to remind you of the balm in Gilead that can heal your soul. For those who are not a child of God, God reaches forth his hand to heal. Through the power of the gospel, through your obedience to the gospel plan, through obeying Christ's message of love, through repentance, confession, and baptism, you too can experience forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness man simply cannot offer. Do you have a need, any need at all? Please come as together we stand and sing.